This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why?
Why the essay?
Are you
acting this way?
You don't have to be scared if you're truly prepared.
Well, hello, evolved humans who know better than to discriminate in the name of religion or your God. And happy 204th birthday, Mr. Darwin. That's coming up this Tuesday, February 12th. Charles Darwin was born 1809, and I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist, Dan Barker. This show is the February 9th, 2013 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. We produce and broadcast in Madison, Wisconsin. You might also be listening to us as we broadcast in other parts of the country. Hello to listeners in Columbia, Missouri, in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, in Ithaca and environs, and in other places, especially you who listen, you faithful, faithless listeners to the podcast.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of FFRF, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we're the nation's largest association of freethinkers, atheists, agnostics in the United States and North America, and we work to keep religion out of government.
Y-O-Y-O-Y-B-S-A, Boy Scouts of America, why are you acting this way? Today we're going to talk some more about the Boy Scouts of America's exclusion of non-believers, and we're also going to talk about a new lawsuit. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And we'll be honoring Charles Darwin, of course, whose birthday, as I pointed out, is coming up February 12th. And we're going to talk with David Williamson, who is the new director of FFRF's chapter. It's a new chapter, the Central Florida Freethought Community, about his and their efforts to counter Bible distribution, passive Bible distribution, so-called, in public schools in Florida, by distributing their own free thought and atheist literature in those same schools. And it's turning into a big issue in Central Florida. But before we get to all of that, we do have to announce, and we're proud to announce, that FFRF has an 11th ongoing lawsuit, joining over 60 that we've taken over the years. And this was just filed this week in conjunction with the ACLU of Ohio. It's called the American Civil Liberties Union of Ohio, filed on Thursday on behalf of families to remove the portrait of Jesus hanging at the entrance of Jackson Middle School in Jackson, Ohio. And we did talk about that on previous shows.
That sort of brown-toned head of Christ that from the 1940s that I used to see as a child all in churches when I was growing up.
And it's been in this particular school in Jackson, Ohio, since the 40s. And we had first sent a letter of complaint, Rebecca Market, our senior staff attorney, on January 2nd, and to the superintendent there. And he is now a named plaintiff, as is the Jackson City Board of Education, as well as the school district. And we filed this lawsuit on behalf of a child who attends Jackson Middle School and on behalf of parents of children who attend school in the district who are going to be coming up and going to the middle school soon, and also have reason to go into the middle school for annual concerts and so on. And when we complained, the superintendent said it will take a court order to remove the picture.
Those are fighting words.
So, and Dan, you were supposed to be on Fox National News on Sunday against somebody with the...
Hiram, what's his name, with the Liberty Institute.
Yeah, and then, gee, wasn't it funny that the technical difficulties were all this way.
I was all dressed up in my suit and tie, staring at the camera, ready to go, and I could hear the show, but they couldn't sync up the satellite or something. So he got to talk and talk and talk while I just stared at nothing.
And we are really dismayed that we would have to go to court over something this obvious, that a devotional painting of Jesus in the center of this series of pictures that they have at the entrance, it's called the Head of Christ, identical to millions hanging in churches today, that we would have to fight to prove that that is inappropriate in a secular public school.
They complain about us outsiders in Wisconsin butting into an Ohio school, but they contacted the Liberty Institute in Texas.
Well, I think the Liberty Institute in Texas contacted them.
Yeah.
Who's so they really did butt in.
So who's butting in? Yeah, we're acting on behalf of local residents and members of that school.
So we'll be having more updates about that. Our senior staff attorney, Rebecca Market, is working on the case with three Ohio attorneys with the ACLU, James Hardiman, Jennifer Martinez Asperger, and Michael Hanahan. And we want to thank these plaintiffs who have been willing to come forward. And we did submit a very strong memorandum asking to keep their names, to use pseudonyms, due to the harassment, historic harassment of plaintiffs in Establishment Clause cases, particularly children, when it's religion in the schools.
So what about religion in the Boy Scouts?
Well, and so Dan, of course, everyone knows the Boy Scouts were claiming they were going to reconsider their discriminatory policy against gays, and what happened?
And then under a lot of pressure from the homophobes, I guess we can call them, the Boy Scouts decided to delay or postpone their discussion about whether or not to allow gays into the Boy Scouts.
But what's wrong with this picture? Usually you hear they exclude gays and atheists. Usually it's the same breath. There's two classes of people who have been barred and called undesirable members by Boy Scouts of America. And nobody's talking about the exclusion of non-religious families. And so we do ask people to contact President Barack Obama, who's the honorary president of Boy Scouts of America, which, by the way, has a congressional charter and has no business discriminating against gays or atheists. These should be totally inappropriate. And we wrote a letter to President Obama at FFRF. You can find that if you go to fffrf.org/news. And you can find a link to contact the White House, or you can call the comment line and tell them that you thank him for speaking out on behalf of gays being able to join Boy Scouts of America. But as the honorary president of Boy Scouts of America, why isn't he also championing non-religious families? And there has been the hurt extends to gay families and non-religious families, and we give examples, quite a bit of examples in this letter. We have met boys and families who have been kicked out and expelled from Boy Scouts of America. You remember Mark Welsh. We met him when he was 7.
Yeah, he was in tears as a Cub. He wanted to be a Cub Scout, and they wouldn't let him.
They wouldn't let him because his family wouldn't sign a Declaration of Religious Liberty. And we have also...
remember Daryl Lambert?
Daryl Lambert.
In Washington State.
Yeah. Eagle Scout, and just a wonderful asset to Boy Scouts of America, super volunteer and teacher and first responder, and was told as an Eagle Scout that he was an undesirable member because he couldn't be a good person because he didn't believe in God, and it goes on and on.
So Obama talks about liberty and justice for all, which is admirable, but all should mean all. Is our action alert online, Annalori? People can...
Yeah, well, this is actually a news release that you can go to fffrf.org/news and look for the news release that went out on February 4th, urge President Obama to speak up for non-believers and gays in BSA. And he did say about a week ago that the Scouts are a great institution that are promoting young people and exposing them to opportunities and leadership that will serve people for the rest of their lives. And I think nobody should be barred from that. And he is right. Nobody deserves to be barred from that, including non-religious kids.
As always, the ever intelligent and perceptive governor of Texas, Governor Perry, had some astute remarks to make about the Boy Scouts and gays.
Scouting is about teaching substantial life lessons. Sexuality is not one of them. It never has been. It doesn't need to be.
So he imagines the Boy Scouts of America are teaching sexuality, turning the issue. It's really exclusion. It's not about what they're teaching.
And then President Obama, here's what he said about scouting.
My attitude is that gays and lesbians should have access and opportunity the same way everybody else does in every institution and walk of life.
So here, we just need to broaden the picture here. And so you address a lot of these stereotypes in a song called Why BSA that you and Steve Benson
we work
co-wrote. It's a parody, and let's listen to it.
Rise and shine, Boy Scouts. Get into formation. Today, we're going to hit the trail. And together, let's all sing the hiking song.
Tramp, 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 tramp.
I'm happy when I'm hiking, backpack on my back. I'm happy when I'm hiking off the beaten track. Out in the open country, that's the place for me. With my real scout friend, to the journey's end, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles a day. But now that the BS of America has purged itself of those gays and atheists, here's a new hiking song. I'm happy when I'm hating atheists and gays. I'm happy when berating all their sinful ways. It's always open season on infidels and queers. With my homophobic friends, I've got them in my lens. 10, 20 godless homosexuals a day. You say you want to join the Boy Scouts of America?
Young man!
Did you say you're a scout? I say,
young man!
If you're gay, then watch out! I say,
young man!
In the new BSA, there is no way for you to stay.
Young man!
Do you trust in the Lord? If not,
young man!
You'll be tossed overboard. They might tell you that all boys are allowed, but the out crowd's not the in crowd. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why?
Why BSA?
Are you
acting this way?
You don't have to be scared. If you're truly prepared, you could treat every boy the same way. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh,
why BSA?
Are you
acting this way?
Are you scared of free thought or afraid of a touch? Don't you think you protest too much?
Think.
Yes,
think,
that's a much think, better hiking song.
Think.
I'm happy when I'm thinking dogma off my back. I'm happy when I'm thinking off the beaten track. Out in the open country where my mind is free. In God we do not trust, we've left him in the dust. 10, 20, 30 independent thoughts a day.
That first song is actually a song that Steve Benson had to learn when he was a Boy Scout.
He's the former Mormon who was a Boy Scout.
And so he remembered singing that and said, let's put some new words to that. And of course, the other one is a famous parody there. And when we come back, I'm Annie Laurie Gillard.
I'm Dan Barker.
And we're going to talk about?
We're going to talk about Darwin Day and then later about fighting Bible distribution in the public schools. Stay tuned.
Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 90 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power.
the sun and you and me.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Welcome back to Beat That Radio.
I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
That was Monty Python.
We're standing on a planet that's evolving. Speaking of evolving, today, this week, Tuesday, February 12th, is the birthday of Charles Darwin.
And why didn't you talk about Charles Darwin Day?
We have an action alert at our website, FFRF's website, to ask Congress to adopt Darwin Day. A resolution has been proposed. Ask your member of Congress on Monday or Tuesday, either send an email or phone their office.
Yeah, email now and phone their office Monday or Tuesday and demand a hearing. Say, let's get this done. Let's do this every year.
Continuing in the tradition of former Representative Pete Stark of California, Representative Rush Holt of New Jersey introduced a resolution designating Charles Darwin's 240th birthday, February 12th, as Darwin Day. It recognizes the importance of science in the betterment of humanity. Holt was quoted in the New York Times a week ago saying, "I hope we can hold these hearings where people can hear about Darwin and science and the jobs it creates, the lives it saves, everything." Holt's resolution touts the monumental amount of scientific evidence that supports evolution. The resolution chastises science deniers. The advancement of science must be protected from those unconcerned with the adverse impacts of global warming and climate change, and the teaching of creationism in some public schools compromises the scientific and academic integrity of the United States education system, the resolution says. To the shame of the United States international standing, about half Americans reject evolution. Globally, the U.S. ranks just above Turkey in public acceptance of evolution. How can we compete in a global technologically advanced community when a majority of U.S. citizens deny basic reality and embrace creationism? So ask the U.S. House to hold those Darwin Day hearings.
Yeah, and I think you said 240th and you meant 204th birthday. Today, what is 2013?
Oh, did I read that wrong?
I think so.
204th, okay.
So we just don't want to get those complaints coming in. And now what are we going to listen to in honor of Charles Darwin? We have several things lined up to entertain you. And what's this first one?
Well, in 2008, we talked about a TV show that was produced in Britain called The Genius of Darwin, a four-part TV show, which Richard Dawkins introduced. And listen to some of Dawkins' remarks about evolution.
I'm a biologist, and Darwin has been an inspiration to me throughout my whole career. Evolution offers a far richer and more spectacular view of life than any religious story. It's one reason why I don't believe in God. Darwin opened our eyes to the extraordinary reality of our world.
Dawkins wrote a book about evolution called Unweaving the Rainbow, and in it he called for a merging of the arts and science to make science more accessible. And so at his request, basically, I wrote a song that acknowledges the basic fact of evolution.
It's called It's Only Natural. We've played it before with Susan Hofer singing, but this is a new version, Dan, that you recorded. You're the vocalist and the piano player. And we'll listen to what we have time for. It's Only Natural, and it's in part an ode to Mr. Darwin.
Thanks to Galileo for showing us our humble place in outer space. And thanks to Mr. Darwin for showing us the origin of the human race. Which means that our precious romance is mainly the product of chance. And these feelings of love so frenetic are just genetic. It's only natural that I would want you. It's only natural that you want me. A million years of evolution had its way. So we can blame it on our parents' DNA. Instinctively in your direction. Somehow you signal me to turn and see. will always be my natural selection. As a voluntary choice, naturally.
Okay, we are listening to It's Only Natural. That's Dan playing piano. And we've been celebrating Darwin's birthday coming up on February 12th. Be sure to contact your member of Congress and say, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you helping to support Darwin Day? And there are several. There are five co-sponsors along with Representative Holt. And coming up, we'll talk with
David Williamson, who's fighting Bible distribution in his public schools with atheistic literature distribution. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
An atheist group wants to make their books available to local high school students.
Yeah, this all comes after a religious group was given permission to make Bibles available to students in some public schools in Orange County. The religious group got permission because of a court ruling. Now, Central Florida Free Thought is planning to distribute atheist materials in the same schools where Bibles were distributed. But it's more than just to make a point than to spread a message.
The county has invited people in now to do this. And what we need to do is we need to put the views of the biblical creationists into perspective with our perspective.
But if it's not the right place, why do it at all in some sort of tit-for-tat?
It's not tit-for-tat. Our effort is to ensure that the county realizes that this is the wrong policy.
A lawyer for the school district says both religious and atheist materials can be displayed. We are told only materials with pornography, advertising, alcohol, tobacco, and drugs are banned, though. The people who put out the materials cannot have contact with the students. They can just set up a table and leave the books and brochures for the students to have.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have on the phone with us from Florida.
By the way, that was Fox 35 news out of Orlando, that clip that we just heard.
And we have to talk about that, and you heard him in the clip, David Williamson, who is the director of the Central Florida Free Thought Community, which is one of FFRF's newest chapters. And CFL Free Thought most recently is responding to a group called World Changers of Florida. It's an evangelical group that was granted permission to distribute Bibles to students on high school campuses in, I think, 9 or 10 schools in the Orlando area, that David will confirm that, during school hours. This occurred on so-called Religious Freedom Day on January 16th. And I think they're being a little too free with their religious freedom. And we're going to welcome David now, who's on the phone.
Hi, thank you very much.
And David, this is turning into a huge controversy in your area. How did you first learn about it?
Well, we were late to the game. I wish we could have found out sooner. We might have been a little more proactive. But one of our members locally, who's an FFRF member and a chapter member, let me know right after the news aired on Monday night, the 14th, 2 days before, a day and a half before, that the distribution was supposed to take place. And I jumped on it and confirmed that it was a passive distribution, which apparently is a little different. But it was only, 36 hours in advance.
Yeah, and I should just interrupt and say that passive distribution is a new thing. It's only permitted in certain, a few federal decisions or appeals courts that have said there can be passive distribution. But generally speaking, getting distribution of Bibles in public schools is a big no-no. And usually they go after fifth graders. These are elementary schools, and this is not allowed.
The Gideon Society.
The Gideon Society and other people who want to distribute Bibles, evangelists, cannot do this in elementary schools.
Well, because they're handing them out and they're talking to people. You know, they're actively distributing.
But even, and it's also the ages. So we don't want to give the impression this is happening everywhere, but unfortunately, there's some precedent in Florida. And so when you learned about this, you went right into action. And why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. I took it upon myself, as did several others in the area, including some students, I understand, to contact FFRF and even other national organizations for help. And we quickly, the next day, Andrew Seidel contacted us, your attorney, and got the ball rolling, communicated with the school board, determined the details of the distribution, and also was able to get permission for us, as well as, just any other group, to go in and distribute any materials that met a certain criteria.
And, but you're running into stumbling blocks still. So what's going on with that?
Sure. We've got our people ready to go. We've got our materials ready to go, thanks to you and some other folks, and we are now just basically waiting for the county to answer the phone and follow up on emails to let us know when we can get in, how soon we can do that, what schools the Bibles were distributed in, because we only want to respond at those schools. We're not interested in evangelizing free thought, but we want to make sure we respond appropriately and level the playing field, but we're at this point kind of being stymied.
And how many schools do you think did allow this so-called passive Bible distribution?
11 were on the list. I heard that from one of the reporters that we spoke to, that all the schools were not included because of the volunteer drop-off. So we're anticipating those 11 schools. And three of those, we actually have somewhat active and very active secular student alliance chapters. So they will be able to assist us in some ways. And even they did some monitoring of their own of the distribution as well.
And we have sent a bunch of what we call non-tracts. We don't like to call them tracts, but they are answers and rebuttals to the kinds of tracts, religious tracts that people are given, including
tracts for non-believers.
Tracts for non-believers, or to educate about non-belief, including sex and obscenity in the Bible, why women need freedom from religion, why Jesus is America, Christian nation, that kind of thing. And have they actually asked yet to vet the materials, David, the school district?
Yes. A week ago, Tuesday, at the school board meeting that we went to, they did receive all the materials, the pamphlets from FFRF, from other organizations, as well as some books that we were going to distribute. They have those in hand, and we're waiting for their approval, and we understand that should have taken 5 days, and we're glad to give them as much time as it's needed, as long as we get the approval to distribute them, but they're reviewing them now.
Well, if the Bible got through that process, anything could get through.
Right. I specifically asked the question if they read the Bible, and they said no, but they'd read it before, so maybe they didn't remember it too well.
Well, because their own rules, I think, would say they shouldn't be distributing the Bible because you're not supposed to distribute pornography.
Right.
And there's quite a bit.
Or even.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, even alcohol abuse, you know, that's in there too.
Yeah. Fathers getting drunk and so-called incestuous relationships, the onus on the young girls, of course, in the Bible, and all kinds of pornographic passages and pornographic language.
And polygamy.
Primarily sexually sadistic toward women.
But the Bible is the good book. So.
Now, David, we have some testimony, your testimony, before a school board. Can you set this up? Because we want to play some of it.
Sure. We were not able to jump into any school board meeting and bring everybody in and tell them we had a problem with it. We had to request permission, and I was the only one that was able to do that before the last board meeting, which was a week and a half ago. And so we had 5 minutes to make our case, and the board followed up answering and discussing amongst themselves and with their attorneys.
So this is an excerpt of your testimony.
From the Orange County School Board, right?
I come before you today as an advocate for our students, and I respectfully request that you amend policy KHC or adopt additional policies to prevent our schools from becoming religious battlegrounds. The board need not discriminate against religious viewpoints. Rather, you can simply limit the distribution of materials from outside organizations which are unrelated to the public education of students. My greatest concern is that outside organizations with stated objectives that directly contradict your own have forced your hand to allow their participation in a limited public forum provided under school board policy. For instance, on the website of World Changers of Florida, the sponsor of the recent Bible distribution, the first item on the page entitled Our Objectives reads, quote, to support the biblical account of creation, including having creation theory taught in our public schools. This also includes defending the use of Christian prayer and Bible readings in public schools. The U.S. Supreme Court has unequivocally decided that both of these objectives are unconstitutional. It's extremely troubling to many in our community that the school board would allow groups with stated objectives so contrary to what is not only permittable but desired in our public schools. An equally fair and legally defensible policy would prohibit the use of your schools as religious combat zones where students are viewed as souls to be won and lost in efforts that serve merely to grow congregations. I beg you to restrict the distribution of materials to these three sources. 1, government agencies. 2, school support organizations created for the school's benefit, such as booster organizations in the PTA. Or 3, institutions with common public education as their primary objective, such as test preparation, scholarship, or college and university materials. Parents who would like their children to receive religious literature or instruction can easily find this in any one of the hundreds of churches, synagogues, or mosques in Orange County. Allowing outside organizations into the schools also places additional burdens on the already strapped assets at your discretion and provides no accompanying benefits in return. The significant effort required by the schools themselves just to ensure they do not appear to endorse the distribution seems wasteful and problematic. Not to mention the fact that opening our campuses to strangers at a time when this very board is rightly discussing how to keep campuses more secure seems strange. The board should at the very least interpret its current policy so as to prohibit any distributions not directly related to the public education of students and leave the business of their faith to the family, in the home, and the places of worship of their choosing. Thank you.
Well, good for you, David. You spoke before the whole school board. What were some of their reactions?
Well, it seemed mixed, but of course not openly communicated, I think, quite as clearly as people would have liked. It was a small meeting, and it was not in the regular chambers. And in fact, the chair of the board seemed to agree with some of the points that he said he did, and then proceeded to state that he'd like the Torah and the Quran also to be handed out. So I think he might get his wish.
Huh.
Well,
and now atheist literature too.
You know, it really is opening quite a mess for the schools.
Well, you called it a religious battleground in your statement there.
Right. I expect that the goals of organizations going in there is to recruit people into their faith or convince them of the Bible's value without even talking about the Bible, because as you know, if we didn't talk about what the Bible said, we would just read it and probably all run screaming away, as many of us have done. So I think that they're hopeful that this message just goes to push peer pressure into the other students into assuming everyone else is Christian, you know, as it seems much of the public does.
You talked about straining the school's resources to do this. Aren't there background checks involved? Did your people have to go through that?
Yes, we did. We had 40 people volunteer. 25 of those were able to assist and actually sign up with the county's website to be official volunteers. They have to have background checks. I'm not sure that they'll get fingerprinted or not, but they want to make sure that everyone that comes on the campus has been checked out, which we think is fantastic, but we think it's a waste of resources.
Yeah.
If they're going to do that for everybody.
Do they do that with ministers?
Well, they better.
No, I think it was church volunteers and you know, congregation members that were participating in it's hard to say at this point. We don't have a good eye on what's going on, but
well,
we certainly will if it happens again. One thing I wanted to mention was that the school board is, I think, trying to keep their doors open to everyone because they have a faith-based adopt-a-school program. And right now I see a list of 45 schools that have already been adopted by churches here and synagogues. And it's concerning, and Andrew is working on that with us as well.
Yeah, and, you know, that was being promoted even under Clinton, not just Bush, partnering with schools. And if churches recruit volunteers and they go into the schools and they are mentors and they're trained and they're screened and they're not there to promote their religion and they're not identified with the church, that's acceptable. But the partnering so often is, let's come over, inviting the kids over to their churches, and it's so clearly promotional of religion. And so we do watch those very, very carefully. So we are talking with David Williamson about a big controversy in Central Florida, how we can stop so-called passive distribution of Bibles in public high schools.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're continuing our conversation with David Williamson, who's the organizer of the new FFRF chapter, Freedom from Religion Foundation chapter, the Central Florida Free Thought Community. And David, tell us just briefly about how did this chapter start?
Sure. I just moved here about a year ago, and the Free Thought community is very broad here, not quite organized yet. There's a humanist group that's been around for 10 years, a coalition of reason that's kind of been stumbling, and several social groups, but nobody's doing state church activism. So I decided to tap into those resources, get with the leadership of those groups, out there to communicate our message and let folks know that if they want to get involved in activism, then we're the group to stay in touch with.
You have a website yet?
We do. We do. And a Facebook page that's been pretty busy lately. The website is cflfreethought.org. That's for Central Florida Freethought. cflfreethought.org. And our Facebook public page is pretty much the same. It's facebook.com/cflfreethought.
So is this the first major push that I know the chapter just got approved last fall, so you're very new. Is this the first major push that you've done?
It is. It is. We actually activated for Amendment 8 in Florida before we were a chapter. So we've been doing some things with that, as well as keeping you guys busy reporting other potential violations down here. But this is definitely the first bit of activism.
So I think I understand, David, that you actually don't want to be pushing atheist literature in the public schools.
That's right. We don't have the resources to do that, much less the interest. I think people are going to find free thought on their own if they get enough religion pushed to them when they're young. But we certainly don't want the Christian or any religion to feel like they have the upper hand, that they have the ability to do this without any response, or it'll continue to happen.
Now, you just sent us an email with a picture. I think it was forwarded from a high school student that showed this great big board apparently near where they had a table distributing Bibles at one of the high schools. And it said, "What is your biggest question about the Bible?" And it encouraged people to write things down. And Andrew Seidel, one of our attorneys, the one who's working on this, looked at it, and he was struck by the fact that so many of the comments were negative. It was obviously a promotional piece by this religious group, but maybe they were getting more than they bargained for.
Yeah, the passive distribution has kind of gone awry, and at the four schools that we did see what happened because of the members of our organization, Secular Student Alliance chapters, we saw that at two of the four schools, we had a problem. One parent was behind one table from a club, and in this case, there was a question on the board saying, what are your questions about the Bible? And there was some pretty critical questions and some jokes about it as well, mostly critical and mostly negative, only a couple supportive. But this is not what I would call passive distribution, and I expect that the school board will pursue this with us.
Yes, and we are going to be writing about it. I mean, there's not even a disclaimer on it. There's not identification of who put this poster up. It looks like it's the school saying, what's your biggest question about the Bible?
But it is kind of encouraging that it looks like it backfired a bit, because a lot of the questions were critical and skeptical about the Bible from students themselves.
Right. I think it's pretty clear that secularism is run amok among our youth, and I think it's something to be proud of.
So yeah, well, one in three young people is calling themselves non-religious. So that is a very promising statistic.
When you guys get permission, assuming that you do, so you're just going to stand at a table and just be quiet. You can't really talk to students as they're passing by. Will you just stand there and make literature available?
Well, the consent decree outlines that we're not allowed to be at the table. We can be away from the table and monitoring the materials to make sure we don't run out. And we're not sure if we're going to do that or if we're going to stay off campus, just to be sure we don't have anyone scrutinizing our efforts in such a way that might misconstrue them as being non-passive. So we're still talking about that, but we're just going to put the materials there before their free periods, I would presume, in the middle of the day, and then come back when they're done. And maybe we'll stay and watch and make sure that if there's any issues, that we can kind of repair the table.
I guess that I don't think it would hurt to have somebody watching to make sure someone doesn't just walk off with all of it. Some good Christian.
That happens. That actually happens. They'll take the whole stack and walk away with it.
A personal experience speaking here.
Right. I think there'd be some billboards in some back pockets if that was possible, too.
Right. Well, there have been some missing billboards as well. Those are harder to get to, but it's happened. So, well, we think it's a very important fight that you've got going there. Now, am I correct that this is mostly the Orlando area? Or where exactly are we? Which schools are we talking about?
I have not memorized the boundaries of the city of Orlando, but I've got a good idea of the boundaries of Orange County, which are the schools we're talking about.
Okay.
All the Florida school districts are by county, and most of Orange County is in Orlando.
And so you're dealing with a very religious community in general in Orlando.
Well, it's a very diverse community, and when you see the different ethnic and religious presence that are here, I think that you can find that that it's very diverse. However, we are still part of the Bible Belt, I guess, so to speak, and we're surrounded by very rural counties. So it's kind of surprising that it's a metropolitan area with such a Christian influence, I guess.
Well, there's some of those big theme parks based there in Orlando, are there not? Some of those Bible theme parks?
Yeah, the Bible park, yeah.
Oh, the Holy Land experience. Yes, that's right.
And, you know, that can change the composition of a city. I mean, Colorado Springs used to be liberal until Focus on the Family decided to focus on it. So I think you do have an awful lot of evangelical sway there.
So they're moving from Mickey Mouse to Jesus, I think, is what's happening.
Well, I think it would be interesting for our group to be able to be sort of a touch point for people that are passing through, and we're considering how we might be able to get free flock tourists to pop into our meetings once they're a little bit more regular. So that's definitely on the horizon.
Yeah, while you're making history.
And so any FFRF members in the Central Florida area can also go to FFRF's website under About Us, and there's a drop-down, and it's got links to our chapter. But why don't you tell us again, David, the website?
Sure. The main website is CFL Freethought, for Central Florida Freethought, cflfreethought.org.
And it's also on Facebook. Well, thank you so much. We'll keep everyone posted on what happens.
Definitely. Thanks so much, Annie, Laurie, and Dan.
Thank you, David Williamson. And also thank you, Dave McCann, who is the engineer and producer of Freethought Radio, which is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. FFRF.org/radio is where you can find out more.
Join us at FFRF.org. That will support our new lawsuit against the Jackson Jesus painting in Ohio, our 9 other lawsuits, our 4 staff attorneys that we've talked about, Andrew Seidel's letter, on behalf of our Florida chapter, our rebates to chapters. If you join, you help that, and you help our broadcast. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.